This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And joining us in Studio A, there's Tim Mize and Dave. Oh, Dave.
Well, Terry, Dave's not here at the moment.
Does he have a hall pass?
He has a hall pass. Okay. He had to go do some husbandly duties. He's on assignment, as the Cardinals would say with Mike Shannon. He'll be back in a moment. He'll be back in a moment.
He's at the track.
That's right. Betting on the ponies.
Betting on the ponies.
Fairmont's open now, and apparently it could be the last year.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
That'd be sad. Yeah. I think it's the 90th year of it.
Is it really?
I think so. Wow. That would be a sad thing.
By the way, we heard from our buddy Darren Deneve this morning, and the Greenfield Northwestern at Carlinville softball game has been canceled. The baseball game will be played, but the softball game canceled, and the baseball game has been moved to 11 o'clock. So.
There you go. Also on the docket today, Hillsboro at Shelbyville in baseball, Nokomis at Meridian, Harvard at Greenville, Southwestern at Rout, and Pena at Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There might be more on there that's been rescheduled that I haven't found, but, you know, I did check the Twitter feed, tweet feed or whatever you call it.
If you checked the twatter and there's nothing going on.
Whatever. So. At least it came up on the computer. Sometimes it doesn't do that. So.
Tis the season for those springtime games to getting washed out and hopefully made up. Well, schedule 40, hope to play 20.
There you go. It's kind of it, you know. And I think the limit is 35 for high school baseball now is what they can play, something like that in the spring. So schedule about 40, and, you know, by the time the rainouts hit, you're probably right on track. So that's a lot of baseball.
That is a lot of baseball,
especially for small schools that don't have a lot of arms.
Well, you remember a few years ago, Litchfield got caught. They scheduled all those games, and it didn't rain, and so they played every one of them. And by the time regionals came around, their pitching was shot. It's like, oh wait, we're gonna play all 35.
And every once in a while, you get these situations with the rainouts that teams will make up 12 games in the last 4 days of the season or something like that, and they're just looking for anybody with an arm to pitch.
Can never have too much pitching.
No matter the level. It's just crazy.
Coming up for ET is really when it starts to feel like springtime. Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball, of course, begins tomorrow night with Cards and Cubs, but the Masters starts on Thursday. The Masters, to me, is when spring is here.
Yes. When you see all that green.
Oh, yes. Picture perfect.
Well, and you know, looking at a baseball field is wonderful. But once a year to see the Masters in Augusta National, wow.
It's a beautiful sight.
That is pretty awesome.
Yes. Springtime will officially arrive then.
Yes. And you know, I don't watch a lot of golf, I'll be honest with you. I don't just watch. But the Masters, I'll kind of pay attention to.
This isn't really golf. That's just kind of an event. Because you can see beautiful.
Sure.
It's like watching nature.
Yes. You know, there's... And it's like the World Series. I don't care who's in the World Series. I'm going to watch the World Series because I'm a baseball fan. I watch the World Series.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's how it is. So
that's a long way away. Think about the World Series. Game 7 will be in November this year.
And not because of events out of their control.
Yeah,
it's planned that way.
Yeah, they started later.
Yeah, started later this year. So. By the way, if the weather cooperates, and right now the extended forecast is kind of iffy, but if the weather cooperates, we'll have high school baseball back on the radio on AM 1540 Thursday and Friday.
All right.
With Carlinville at Gillespie on Thursday and Litchfield at Hillsboro on Friday. So, if Mother Nature cooperates. But she runs the show.
She always does.
Yes.
Always does. Yes.
Always, we may be out of control. She's always in control.
That's right. It'll be nice to get some baseball and softball back on the radio.
Oh yeah. So it's, you know, I've seen the kids out at the park and going, it's time.
Hey, congratulations to Litchfield. They won the Bulldog Panther soccer tournament. They went undefeated in tournament play as they won yesterday over Hillsboro 8-0.
Another good year for the Lady Panthers. Actually, we've got some soccer teams that are going to be pretty darn good.
And, not a surprise.
No. Fun. And by the way, speaking of soccer, of course, they've got a game at Busch Stadium today with Team USA, the women's team, playing.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, playing a friendly. And the women that you see on this team today more than likely will be on the roster for the World Cup, which begins in the summer. This summer.
In Canada. It's better that they do it now, I guess, at the start of the year than when they had that football game right before the playoffs a few years ago.
Yeah.
They're starting to hold more of those events at Busch Stadium. I'm sure the grounds crew loves it. Because I think they actually take the mound down when they have these soccer games.
sure.
So, you know, they have to.
Well, most mounds at baseball fields are, you stick a forklift under them and lift them off.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. That's how I used to do them.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the old days, they just zipped in a piece of carpeting.
Well, yeah.
Remember? I don't know. You might be.
I don't remember that.
But
I read about it in a history book once. It seemed like a simpler time.
And it was always dark green, and everything else was, you know, almost white. It was a goofy looking thing. So, but
it's,
yeah,
it's nice to see the age of the AstroTurf going away.
You know, AstroTurf has its place. You know, the field turf has its place for, you know, like Lenz Field in Jacksonville, the Grizzlies Park. Everything's turf. You know, the maintenance is great. And, you know, for places like that that don't have the ground crew, it probably works out pretty well.
Well, I don't consider the modern-day field turf in the same class as the old-school AstroTurf, like in the 80s, what used to be at Busch Stadium, or what used to be like in the like
basically,
the
it was carpet. A piece, it was a piece of carpet on asphalt.
Yeah, like the Brady Bunch backyard.
Yeah.
Like that stuff. That doesn't count. It's like no wonder people get hurt or have their knees go out. Yeah. That looks awful.
Yeah.
But the field turf.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's better.
Field turf.
You don't hear people complain about it like you would hear people about the AstroTurf.
It's softer, but I think they've had some concerns about some of the material they use.
It's mostly rubber, I think. Tires, right?
Well, that's
right?
Part of the problem. They think that some of the rubber might be causing some problems. So, I don't know.
It's always something.
It is. So the thing about grass is it grows, and it looks green, and it's pretty. It gets worn out, but it's nature.
It's supposed to grow.
It's supposed to,
hopefully.
Yeah, and you're supposed to have skinned out areas in front of goal creases and skinned out areas around the base paths, and that's what grass does.
Was the professional stadiums, though, the problem they get into, like in Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, they play a lot of high school games there, play college games there, and then between the Steelers, that natural grass field gets chewed up. So by the time Pittsburgh, the professional football team, is out there playing on Sundays, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
That's where field turf can come in handy.
Yeah, that's where maintenance is the key. Not having to resod. You know, Busch Stadium has to resod simply because of the zone that it's in. Sometimes the grass doesn't grow well.
And you know, you see like at some of the bigger high schools, you know, you get the big time football programs like up Springfield SHG, you know, they've got the field turf. You know. Which is a nice thing.
Or you go to Texas and every high school has one.
Well, yeah, and, you know, seating capacity of 20,000 or whatever.
20,000 for a high school game. Oh, good Lord.
And probably people getting turned away.
Oh, more than likely. More than likely. So, I don't know. It's just different strokes for different folks.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's what they do. So, anyway, I still think the WISME Dome right across the street would be perfect. You know, a dome stadium where we could be out of the weather at all times, no matter what the event. Be a great site for postseason tournaments of all sorts.
You got to play the political game when you get
I'm telling you. Whose fanny do we have to kiss?
There you go.
That's the name of the game.
That's right. You got to find the movers and the shakers.
Yeah,
get the big donors.
Yeah. They're lining up right now.
No, I'm sure they are.
Oh, no. They're lining up and saying, Terry, what are you talking about? You're an idiot. So
You got the Chili Dome. The WISME Dome.
Yeah, and we will be back at the Chili Dome. I saw Dave Leonard. We will be back at the Chili Dome this year in early June at Farmersville.
So. Always fun.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good time. You know, that's kind of the official. And I know Italian-American days and Black Diamond days, but I always look forward to Irish days. That's kind of my start of the summer. So,
always a crowd
there. Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Barb's not going to be there this year. She's got something else going on, so she's not going to be cooking chili. Our Barb.
Well, yeah, that'll be disappointing.
So, yeah. So, anyway. That's just a little inside information there, folks. A little TMI. Yeah, a little TMI. So.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday.
Yes, we'll
come back. We're going to talk NCAA tournament. And also, there was a bit of an uproar earlier this week, I think in Kansas. The principal got his head a little too far up somewhere and kind of lost sight of perspective.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Yes.
Which happens frequently now, but we'll talk about that too. We'll come back with more in a moment.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on, and just let me say one thing. If I ever had a minor league baseball team and it played in Idaho, the name of it would be the Idaho Tater Tots.
The Tots.
We're going to talk a little bit about that later in the sports show.
David put together a bracket.
Dave's got this wonderful mind of information. It's packed full of information and stuff. We were talking about minor league teams and nicknames. He came up with some great names here.
He's got a bracket, so we'll get into that here a little bit later and try to have some fun with that. There are some outstanding minor league baseball
nicknames. The tater tots, yes.
And we were talking earlier. I think a lot has to do with the name of the city going into it to make it a good name. And somewhere in here, the Auburn Double Days.
Yes.
The Auburn.
Not the Abner Double Days, but the Auburn Double Days.
That's just smart. Yeah, I like that.
I like it, too. I like it, too.
So the Final Four starts tonight. Couple of great matchups with Duke and Michigan State, Kentucky and Wisconsin. We'll get into that in a moment. But, Terry, first, want to mention this. This story came up this week. I saw it, and it's just it's amazing. And sometimes people just don't think, I feel, before they
And before you go any further, just let me say this, Tim. When Litchfield won the state tournament in Scholastic Bowl. We had them out here on the sports show.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful thing. A great accomplishment. You know, they participated in an activity. It wasn't necessarily a sport, but they participated in an activity that represented their school. And we were very proud of them. Still are proud of the fact that they, you know, won the state championship last year. So, anyway, go ahead with that.
Okay. There's a situation brewing in Wichita where a special needs student who has Down syndrome and autism participates in an extracurricular special needs basketball system.
Okay.
And I guess this child's parents, they bought him a letterman's jacket to wear. Why wouldn't they?
Quite an honor.
Why wouldn't they?
Sure.
Well, I guess he wore it to school. And apparently, some people there and the principal told this child that he could not wear the letterman's jacket at school because it was not an official varsity sport.
Wow.
Can't wear the letterman's jacket. Because it's not an official varsity sport.
So much for school pride.
Right. Just.
Wow.
Makes you wonder.
Wow.
You know, like, I don't know what that I would be too proud to wear a letterman's jacket from that school after hearing that story.
Yeah. And this guy's the principal?
Right.
Hmm. I wonder. Well, anyway. Did they rescind that?
Not to my knowledge.
Really?
Yeah, not to my knowledge.
Wow. If you represent the school.
You know,
even as a student, what's it going to hurt?
Right. What does it matter?
Even if you're not an athlete, you're representing your school. I just find that hard to believe.
It just, you know, it flies in the face of.
Aren't there more things to worry about running a school than that?
I would think so.
I don't think so.
And you see, you know, we see locally, you know, you'll see some teams that have some youngsters from the area that have Down syndrome or autism that are on local squads. And they'll get into a ball game and. The atmosphere and the electricity is just such a fun thing to be a part of, and to think that there's people out there that would try to deny someone of wearing a simple letterman's jacket. It's just a very sad state, I think, of kind of maybe the way people have began to look at things to where, well, it's not an official varsity sport, so somehow the varsity athlete is going to be
special,
denigrated somehow because this child who's not a varsity athlete is wearing the same jacket. It's just
ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
I'm sorry.
But I'd seen that story, and it definitely made national news. Yeah. It's just one of those things, you know, because we see a lot of high school sports, Terry, and to think that would happen, it wouldn't happen.
No.
In any of the places, you know, certainly in Illinois, I don't think something like that would ever happen. But it's just astonishing to think that someone could have their morals or whatever so out of whack.
Well, and let's go back to the IHSA, where it's not just sports, it's activities. I mean, they try and involve students of all levels, you know, and I just think it's the attitude. And I think we've got a pretty good one in here. And sports does more things correct than it does incorrect.
Oh, absolutely.
But this was definitely incorrect.
Well, yeah. And, you know, a lot of times,
wow.
You know, unfortunately, it's the adults that are doing the stuff that just makes you scratch your head. You know, it's like, what is served? Who wins there? What's better?
If you took a poll of the kids, what would the kids say?
Right.
You know, we don't care. Let them wear it. Right?
Sometimes the kids have a lot better perception and ability to kind of factor in common sense than the adults from time to time.
I fit into that once in a while, I think. So
that's exactly right. Anyway. But to me, just the letterman jacket as a whole is kind of a – you don't see as many of them as you used to.
You don't. You really don't. It's kind of a bygone era thing.
It is.
In many respects. So I don't know.
I always liked the letterman jacket.
I always thought they were neat.
Yeah, they were. I don't know that I had one in high school, though. I had one in junior high.
Did you?
But I don't know that I got one in high school.
I don't know. because you always had the leather arms and, you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of, anyway. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
The world changes, Tim.
It does.
And now you're getting to the point where you're seeing, oh, gosh, it is changing. And you're not that old, but you're old enough.
Old enough. Well, you know, you realize when you get to be like where professional athletes are getting to be your age and they're old and done.
And you're going, holy mackerel. Yeah.
Right. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
Well, let's talk about the Final Four.
Shall we?
Yes.
Probably the best Final Four.
They've had in years.
Oh, my goodness. You got
four big dogs.
Whatever you want. So you got the storyline of Kentucky going undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the coaches in Calipari, Krzyzewski, and Izzo. And you can't really deny it. You look at Bo Ryan and what he's done at Wisconsin, what he did at the D3 level. I mean, that dude is just a fabulous basketball coach.
And recruiter.
Oh.
I mean, he gets the people. And he doesn't necessarily get the people that are the flashiest, Tim. I think that's the thing. He gets people that fits his mold perfectly.
They've got a system. They played extremely well.
Yeah. And Bo Ryan's got a great system.
Of course, they were in this game last year against Kentucky. Think about what are the odds of that and all the different probabilities of the NCAA tournament and the brackets and everything. Wisconsin played Arizona in the Elite Eight last year, played them again in the Elite Eight this year, played Kentucky in the national semifinal last year, and again this year. That is just strange.
That is strange.
To play the same two opponents in back-to-back rounds.
The basketball gods do strange things sometimes.
It was a one-point game last year.
They call it madness. So.
And how about that Notre Dame game against Kentucky last week? I mean, they had Kentucky on their heels.
And we see this, Tim, even at the high school level, where a team that makes a deep run into the postseason has one game that they get away with. And that was the game that Kentucky got away with. They got the win, maybe when they shouldn't have deserved it, or Notre Dame probably deserved it more. But then they come back, and who knows? They just may blow everybody out.
No, they might. But you see why they're undefeated in a game like that against Notre Dame, because
when they don't play well, they still win.
Exactly right. And that's what's going to take for them not to win. It's going to take a Wisconsin team or, on the other side, Michigan State or Duke. Because they're good in those teams in a vacuum on one night, if they play their best, are good enough to beat Kentucky if Kentucky doesn't play their best.
Right.
If Kentucky plays their best game, I don't think anybody's going to beat them.
I don't, you know, they just don't, you can't touch them.
No.
They're so big and long. And I mean, they affect play from the time you step into the front court.
Well, you get around that first 7-footer, then the second 7-footer is waiting to block your shot.
And then you get by him and you're out of space. There's nowhere to go. I mean, you're just trapped. So, I think Kentucky will win this. I'm rooting for an all Big Ten final, of course, and I'm a big fan of Tom Izzo. I make no bones about it. But I think Kentucky's probably going to win.
See, I'm rooting for the exact opposite.
Are you?
We already saw the Big Ten final. We saw Wisconsin, Michigan State in the Big Ten final.
Yeah.
I want a Kentucky Duke final.
Okay.
Just for
you're a Dukie.
I want a Duke final. Whoever they're playing, but just Kentucky versus Duke. Can you imagine an
undefeated, lot of blue?
A lot of blue blood. Can you imagine an undefeated Kentucky? The last team standing in their way is Coach K and Duke, who is the team that stopped UNLV in their undefeated run back in the 91 Final Four.
If that's the scenario, Duke wins it. Because I think Coach K outcoaches him.
You know? Yes.
There's a reason Coach K coaches the USA men's basketball team for the Olympics.
And see, that's the thing about
Seriously, there's a reason for that.
And that's the thing with the NCAA tournament. The best team rarely wins because it's a single-game elimination. One-game scenario, Duke absolutely could beat Kentucky. Yeah. In a seven-game series, no chance.
Mm-hmm.
In a one-game scenario, you're exactly right. Anything
heads or tails
can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Duke's got three first-round lottery picks on their team. Kentucky might have seven.
But you can only put five out there at a time.
But just for pure basketball, that would be sensational.
That would be.
Kentucky-Duke final with an undefeated season on the line. That would break, I don't know what the record would be for most people to watch, but that would have to be the most watched college basketball game maybe ever.
I don't know.
I mean, that'll get eyeballs to the TV set.
I would think so. I'd have to struggle to stay awake late in the game, but I'd have to consume some caffeine earlier in the contest.
Well, yeah, it'll probably tip at what, like 10:30?
Well, I think it's like 8:00 or 8:17 or something like that.
What a tournament it's been, though.
It's
The first day with all the buzzer beaters and the upsets, and this is exactly what you want. You get the upsets early, and then you get the blue bloods in the Final Four.
Well, there's Dave Jenkins again.
He's back.
Yeah, I'm back.
You fixed it?
No.
Okay.
Just picked her up and took it away.
Okay, there you go.
My battery's dead, so. something to get.
How interesting, David, that the day that you bring your wife's car to work, your battery happens to be dead.
Mm. Isn't that something?
Interesting.
Isn't that something?
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Well, sounds like something on the X-Files, which, by the way, they're making another movie.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Is it a movie or a show?
No, I think maybe it's a show.
Okay.
They're coming back, though.
Same people.
I think six episodes now okay, that I think about it. So.
Same people.
So. Yeah. Chris Carter and Scully and Mulder.
Yeah.
Were you ever into that?
I never got into the X-Files too much.
X-Files?
Not too much.
Okay. I couldn't either.
Well, the X-Files.
Were you still making that show when you were born, David?
Well, I mean, it's on Netflix. And it's one of
I bet
where you try
a dollar
to
a donut they have an X-Files night at the Las Vegas 51s.
Hey, probably
right.
Sure. Probably so.
Don't you think? We'll get to that later.
I would imagine. Yes. Yeah. What were they seeded in David's bracket?
Three
seed. They garnered a three seed.
Three seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I left
yeah.
my bracket at my desk. There we go. Yes, they were.
As if we don't have enough to do at the radio.
They were
station.
A three seed because they were one of the teams I was familiar with.
Yeah.
The teams I was familiar with got the top seeds.
So I know you want Duke to win. Do you really think they're going to win it though, Tim?
As in, if I was betting money?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
You think Kentucky's going to win it?
I mean, yeah.
I think Kentucky's going to win it,
I heard something interesting, you know, because, of course, you know, the NCAA tournament, gambling has a lot to do with it. The game where Duke and Utah played, they had that where everyone was off the floor, thought the game was over. The spread was 5. Duke was favored by 5. They were winning by 5. They called that foul with no time left virtually. Everyone walks off, thinks the game's over. It's not over. They bring him back on the floor, makes one free throw. Duke wins by 6. It was like a $1 million swing in Vegas on that free throw.
Really?
Yeah, because it went from a push to Duke covering.
Wow.
And if Kentucky goes 40-0, I guess apparently Vegas is going to lose big time because they had a prop bet at 50-1. Kentucky going undefeated, and all sorts of people took that at the beginning of the year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd like to see that happen just for that.
It's not often Vegas takes a bath, but they very well could take a bath.
They'll learn from their mistake. They'll never do that again.
So, David, what do you think about the...
You know, I think Kentucky's going to beat Wisconsin. I think Duke is going to beat Michigan State.
So you got the Blue Bloods playing.
Yeah.
They're all Blue Bloods, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? I take that back. I think it's going to be a Duke-Wisconsin final.
Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
Wow. There he goes.
I picked Kentucky to win it all, but I, you know, Kentucky struggled against Notre Dame, and Wisconsin is playing really good ball. I think it'll be a Duke-Wisconsin final. And
Duke beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin early in the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll say it'll be a Duke. It didn't feel like a Duke year, but maybe it'll be a Duke year.
Well, you know, that's the thing. If it's not Kentucky, because it's been all about Kentucky. Yeah. All year, so
and that's been good for Duke.
It's been good for everybody. I think.
Yeah, really, because it's pulled the pressure off a lot of other teams.
No, you're exactly right about that.
Yeah.
So if it's not Kentucky, anybody who wins is going to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody will have seen anybody other than Kentucky realistically winning. Like I didn't pick Kentucky to win in any of my brackets, not because I didn't think they weren't going to win, but because I knew everybody else was going to pick Kentucky to win.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you know, I had to do something different, which doesn't matter anyway. Lost the bracket. Lost the title. It's all over. Burn the trophy.
Burn it.
Burn it.
And by the way, who's leading the way? Gavin?
Gavin Middleton's leading the way.
Okay.
And he's got Kentucky winning it all. I think he's got Kentucky beating Duke.
For the prestigious WSMI Cup. The
so
Cup.
If Kentucky beats Duke in the championship, he wins. If Kentucky beats Michigan State in the championship, he wins. If Kentucky just plays Michigan State in the championship, he wins.
So if that thing's going outside the building, we've got to get an ankle monitoring bracelet for the trophy. What is that, the low jack? Got to get the low jack out.
Get the low jack out. There you go.
Trophy by proxy.
We'll give him a picture.
Sure, yeah.
Yes.
He can have a
nice
have
Polaroid.
A, yes.
A Polaroid of the
Congratulations.
Trophy.
Congratulations. Signed by Dave, the keeper. I call Dave the keeper now.
That's right.
He's the keeper. He keeps the brackets for us. He's the keeper. If he was on the blacklist, he'd be the keeper.
I can see that. I can see that. As far as the Final Four goes, though, I could see Michigan State upsetting everybody. Yeah. You know,
well, realistically, all four of these teams could have a legitimate shot at winning.
And that's why it's a beautiful Final Four, because both semifinals are pick'em games. And then in the final, I mean, it'd be hard to say Michigan State would have a chance against Kentucky just because of the matchups. But I'm not betting against Tom Izzo.
No.
Did you see the shirts that they had at the Michigan State game?
Mm-mm.
It was, what was it? January, February, Izzo, April, May.
Yeah.
That's great.
He just gets it done.
He does.
Just gets it done.
He does. So, by the way, today's semis are on TBS. Not on
that.
Not on CBS.
On cable.
On cable.
What about the championship?
CBS.
That's
on
CBS.
Yeah. Okay. They're not going to give that up.
Well, they did the they did Saturday's Elite Eight games last week on TBS.
The championship game at some point will be.
Oh, yeah.
On TBS,
probably.
With the amount of money that they paid to get
not
involved.
Next year, maybe the year after. Yeah.
Well, so. We've seen that with Major League Baseball with the postseason moving to Fox Sports 1 instead of being on regular Fox.
That's the way that the ship is moving.
And the women's soccer game from Busch Stadium today is on Fox Sports 1. So, this afternoon.
That will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it will be. It will be interesting to watch.
Will Hope Solo be playing?
Yes. She's there.
Bar her low jack.
She's got her act together.
She's able to get across state lines?
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. And the neat thing about this, there's a couple of women from the St. Louis area who are on the team. So 32,000 plus tickets sold.
Yeah.
They sold them like in 2 hours.
Oh, I believe that. Soccer's huge in St. Louis.
Yeah. And it's probably better they do it this time of year rather than doing it in September at Busch Stadium.
Probably so.
Or August, whenever the pennant chase
see,
is happening.
See, as long as it's not a football game.
When they start issuing the sites for the World Cup, I think Canada and USA should go together as one entity.
That's interesting.
And, I mean, look at the ballparks, the facilities across those two nations we could host. What a tournament. Wow. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, think of the bribe that the U.S. and Canada could put together to get the World
Cup. Yeah, well, that's
what, you know,
that's
an astronomical figure.
Oh, yeah.
Qatar would have no chance.
And Russia.
What about
that oil money?
What about Mexico?
What about
getting our
what about them,
neighbors
David?
To the south?
Yes.
Are they not in on this?
No. No, they're not.
That's all right, I guess. But those soccer games have worked out really well at Busch Stadium, the ones that they've had.
No, they have.
We'll see if... because they had one that was at the Edward Jones Dome, Ivory Coast, and somebody else that nobody went to, not surprisingly. But, yeah, the ones at Busch Stadium have been fantastic, and I hope they continue to do it, as long as they pick the right time of year to do it or right date to do it. Again, not on a pennant chase.
I mean, the DeWitts, they know how to make money.
Yeah.
You know?
They know baseball, too.
Yeah. Well,
they know how to hire good people to run baseball teams.
Absolutely. Yeah. They know how to be involved, but yet stay out of the way.
And
at
if
the same
you don't
time.
Think that's the case, you just look at the former employees from the Cardinals who have gone on to other franchises.
Sure.
Watch what the Astros are going to do. I'm
Luna
telling you right
like
now, the Astros are going to be a heck of a good baseball team here in another year.
Well, Jeff Luna looks even more brilliant for not signing Brady Aiken because of a fear of durability, because he had a smaller UCL tendon or UCL. And what does Brady Aiken do? He ends up, you know, tearing it, has to have Tommy John surgery because it was small. So,
calculated risk.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't not sign it because of that. He didn't offer him the money Aiken wanted because of it. A lot of people thought, well, you need to get him. He's the top pick in the draft. No, he's got a small UCL.
But you would wonder why they wouldn't have done that before they drafted him.
When that happens, Dave.
Personal problem.
Yeah. TMI.
Wouldn't you know that before you drafted the kid, though?
Why
draft him if you're not going to look at that?
Do you do physicals though before you draft them?
Would you not?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
There's so many baseball players.
You
I don't
certainly
know if
do
they
a
do.
Physical, but like as a free agent, they do physicals before they sign contracts. I can't believe.
But
you're not
how
doing
intense is
the
physical
draft.
And how thorough is it?
Well, if you're a guy, that's a good point. But if you're a guy like Jeff Luhnow, who's a real numbers guy, a stats guy, who's in tune with those types of things, you think that would be something you would be looking for? What else are you going to look at for a pitcher?
I don't
check
I,
his ears.
But the thing is, I
his
see
cap will fit beautifully.
But I seriously doubt if, I understand why he didn't, because I seriously doubt if that was even on his mind. Oh, this guy's got a small UCL. I doubt if, he had the thought of him.
I don't even know what a UCL is.
But if he's got,
it's in the tendon and the elbow?
Yeah, it's what causes a Tommy John surgery, pretty much.
But if you're going to do the physical after you've drafted him, and do the physical before he signs the contract,
shouldn't you know that?
Why wouldn't you just do your due diligence and have this physical before you draft?
But there was no evidence of him ever ever being hurt.
So what? Then why have him do the physical at all then? Why not just draft him and
sign? Because
you're
about to throw millions of dollars at him.
But that's exactly my point. So they just ended up wasting the pick.
No, they got the top pick in the draft because of it, this upcoming draft. Because a lot of people thought that was the reason.
But they were so bad, they were going to get the top pick anyway based on their poor performance. But either way, they're short a draft pick now. They're short a pick, no matter how many picks
they
have.
No, I think they get it back.
Oh, they get it back?
I think something like that. They get some sort of
compensation. This is baseball, remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's some sort of compensation pick because they didn't sign him. They don't lose the pick. They just it may not be the top pick, but it's some sort of compensation pick. So that was part of the controversy was Luna didn't sign him because he wanted one of the top picks again. But it turns out he knew what he was doing.
Well, maybe that's why he didn't do the physical beforehand. Maybe he knew what he was doing.
Could have been.
Who knows?
I don't know.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. That we do know. We'll be back in a moment.
And WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on here on this fourth day of April. And back to Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins, a.k.a. The Keeper.
The Keeper. That's exactly right. As David has spent some time here putting together a bracket of sorts of all the minor league, or not all the minor league teams, he sifted through and found.
Yeah. Our blue ribbon panel picked these names.
That would have been a massive bracket putting all the teams together. I also skipped the,
Are we going to put this online?
I can, yeah.
Can you put this online?
I got to figure out a way to put it online logistically.
Okay.
But I skipped all of the complex and non-domestic leagues, like the AZL Angels and all that stuff.
What?
Those aren't fun.
You skip them?
Yeah. It's just DSL and AZL and GCL team name.
Also the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Yes, that's fantastic.
The Isotopes. They're a number two seed.
We could do the Hispanic ones, Toros de Tijuana.
Dave, why do we have two brackets? Is it East versus West?
A 32-team bracket. Okay. The first page, the Durham Bulls is your number one overall seed.
Okay. You got to see like the NCAA tournament. So you've got one through 16
on both sides.
Yeah.
Durham gets the number one overall seed, Durham Bulls. And I think that was pretty obvious considering the history the Durham Bulls franchise has. I put the Birmingham Barons. They are the other number one seed, the second seed overall, because I think they're a pretty commonly known minor league team. Of course, that's the team that Michael Jordan played for.
There you go. Birmingham Barons. All right.
He tried to play.
Yeah, tried to play.
He played, just didn't play well.
Well, people forget that he was playing the Fall League before, like the off season before he went back to the NBA. He was doing the Fall League, Arizona Fall League, and he was improving. He was like on his way up and going to get a promotion and possibly going to be in the big leagues within a couple of years. But then he decided he wants to go back to the NBA. They're not going to suspend you for gambling. You need to go back to the NBA. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, the Barons get the number 16 seed in the first bracketed game, the Akron Rubber Ducks.
The Akron Rubber Ducks. And I looked. They were one of the ones I got to look up their logo this morning, and it's one of the most frightening rubber ducks I've ever seen.
Oh, an evil rubber duck.
It's an evil rubber duck.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
With a patch over its eye or something like that?
I know they had a patch, but it was pretty
swing.
Pretty intense.
It's got a teardrop under one of its eyes for his homie in jail.
Yeah, with blood.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, the Durham Bulls, by the way, they play the Savannah Sand Gnats in the opening round game.
Oh, God, not the Sand Gnats.
You know, a 16's never beaten a 1, but look out for the Sand Gnats.
Look out for the Sand Gnats. I gave them a 16 seed because I felt Sand Gnats rightfully so. They're probably always getting picked on, so they deserve a 16 seed.
Well, I was talking to John Marty yesterday, John Michael, and he brought up the Muck Dogs. The Batavia
Muck Dogs,
yeah.
That's a former Cardinals affiliate.
Is it really?
It changed a couple of years ago. The State College Spikes took their place.
Ah.
They used to be Batavia Muck Dogs were the Cardinals affiliate, so they're the short season A league, something like that. I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
Like four or five. Well, they don't start till like August or something after the draft.
I see the Tennessee Smokies on here.
Tennessee Smokies.
Of course, we know the Tennessee Smokies from Mr. Jokic.
Yes. Yeah. From Eric.
Yes.
Yes.
We had him on the show a couple years ago when Dave was out here.
Yes.
He
got up to the show last year.
Yeah, he debuted
in September.
Yeah.
He's got a shot at starting a few games this year. Starting a few games.
Left-handed hurler.
That'd be great.
Good for him. Yeah, Albuquerque. I also loved the the history behind some of these places or the reason they picked them. Like Albuquerque Isotopes, probably because of I would assume the
Manhattan Project.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, thing there. I think that's probably
that thing.
And the 51s, because of Area 51.
51s, yeah. Augusta Green Jackets for the Masters.
Yeah.
I like the Brevard County Manatees.
I chose them because why would anybody ever choose their logo as a manatee?
Yeah, why would you want to be a manatee?
I'm not even sure I know what a manatee is. Although, I don't, on the emails, we get save the manatee stuff
all
the time.
Yeah, save the manatee.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Well, it's funny because, you know, anytime you've ever heard somebody mention that they saw a mermaid, it's always been a manatee. And it's like, those are two completely, like, because these mermaids
the
are supposed to, yeah, they're supposed to be attractive female, you know, human fish-like things.
I know what, yes, I'm familiar with what a mermaid's supposed
right.
to be, yes.
And then you confuse it with a manatee, which is this monstrous.
Maybe they didn't have their glasses on.
Apparently
David.
Not.
Perhaps they were using performance-enhancing drugs that didn't enhance.
They
perhaps.
Can squint their way down to 20/20 vision.
The Reno Aces, another good team, another good, good mm-hmm. regional.
How about those Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs?
Gotta love the Iron Pigs.
And what kind of a logo would they have, Dave?
I didn't get to take
them.
Chicks
in leather, you know, with chains and stuff? I don't know.
I don't know. A pig in an iron lung, maybe? I don't know. A pig with breathing trouble? I looked up the Aberdeen Ironbirds. That's just a plane, apparently. Or a jet.
It's okay. Kind of boring.
It is. I mean, it sounded more exciting whenever I chose it, and then I looked it up this morning. I was like, oh, it's a jet.
And having played at a stadium called Crawdad Stadium in my younger days, a homemade ballpark, how could I not like the 15th-seeded Hickory Crawdads?
Hickory Crawdads facing against the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
I like how the Toledo Mudhens will be scoring off against the Richmond Flying Squirrels.
Yeah. You like that?
Well, Toledo Mudhens, of course, made famous because of Jamie Farr's character on MASH.
Yeah.
He was a big Toledo Mudhen fan on MASH TV show.
That's why they got a two-seed, because they're pretty popular for that reason.
You know, that's the nice thing and the cool thing about a lot of these minor league baseball teams is some of them are so obscure that they get dropped in, like, pop culture references, and you might not even realize it or just think that it's totally made up. But a lot of times, that's real.
And some of them have been there forever and are part of the culture of these communities. And
small town Americana in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and just the power of baseball.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Montgomery Biscuits.
The Biscuits?
The Biscuits. They're facing the Cedar Rapids Colonels and the good old fashioned, you know, breakfast bowl.
That's Colonels with a K, right?
Yeah, Colonels with a K.
Okay.
Yeah, Cedar Rapids Colonels against
kinda
the
Kind of like Hilltoppers, Hilltoppers with one L.
What was the team that. Yes, exactly. What was the team that Roger Clemens pitched for a few years back? It had a unique nickname, but I can't remember what it was now.
I don't know
off the top of my head.
Houston or New York franchise?
I think it was down in Texas.
Okay. Yeah, it was Texas.
I don't know. It had
a goofy name, and I think who was it? Tracy McGrady ended up pitching for the same team.
Oh, okay.
I think whenever he was trying to become a professional baseball pitcher.
I don't know if that was a minor league team. I think that might have been an independent league.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I get all these different minor leagues. Like, the minor leagues are not the same as, like, the independent league or some of those other leagues. So I think you're exactly right.
Like, the Gateway Grizzlies play in the Frontier League, and that's not affiliated with – that's an independent.
Right.
Well, I'm wondering about the Inland Empire 66ers. Is that because of Route 66?
I think so. It's in California.
Okay.
I outside of that, I don't know. I didn't get to research that one.
Well, you got the El Paso Chihuahuas against the Modesto Nuts.
Chihuahuas?
Yeah. Chihuahuas.
Modesto Nuts was one of my favorite because their logo is a peanut.
Nice.
Classic. Auburn Double Days against the Beloit Snappers.
That's a good one.
Or Belwaff.
And,
you,
of course,
French.
The Biloxi Shuckers.
Biloxi Shuckers. Yeah,
you have to be very sober to say that one.
Yeah. Careful. You don't want to drink too many of the Dollar Beers at the minor league park and try to say that one.
Yeah, that's right.
The Greensboro Grasshoppers, the 8th seed, face off against the 9th seeded Lansing Lugnuts.
Oh, Lansing Lugnuts.
Lansing Lugnuts.
Yeah.
Tennessee Smokies, as we mentioned, they get to face the Chattanooga Lookouts. Their logo is literally a C with a pair of eyes. So that was disappointing upon research.
How about the Snappers from Beloit?
I didn't get
that a turtle?
I didn't get to see that one. I didn't know if it was a turtle or a crab.
Okay.
I have to check that one.
Okay.
There's talk about not being able to distinguish mermaids and manatees. You can't tell the difference between a turtle and a crab?
I didn't look at the logo. That's what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
It's called Snappers.
I thought you were saying you looked at it and couldn't tell.
No. Okay. I haven't seen it.
I got you.
So
I would go with turtle. That'd be my guess.
Well, if we get this on the website, we'll run a little tournament.
Yeah.
If you can figure out a way to
vote
get it
for
up
your
there.
Favorite. Yeah.
Vote for your favorite.
There's a way that we
and,
can
and
put
let's,
it up.
Let's
in
just be very
setting.
Specific here. There will be no prize.
No. It's just for fun.
It's just for fun.
Yeah.
There'll be no money involved, right?
Oh, really?
No money involved.
I'm not interested.
Put it this way. If you want money involved, do it yourself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Side bets.
Don't involve me.
Side bets only.
Yes.
There were some good ones that didn't make the cut for the tournament. You know, they go to the NIT, which and then the others go to the CIT. Like, you know, teams like the Corpus Christi Hooks or, you know, the Bradenton Marauders, Bowling Green Hot Rods, you know, Clearwater Threshers, whatever that is, the Fort Myers Miracle. I put an asterisk next to that one, meaning to look it up why it was called the Fort Myers Miracle.
How about the Daytona Tortugas?
Daytona Tortugas was one of my favorites.
That would be a
good
one, yeah.
That was a good one that didn't make it. The Kannapolis Intimidators, I also put an asterisk next to. I meant to look that one up as well, just to get the explanation behind that. Lynchburg Hillcats? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well.
Mahoning Valley Scrappers? Missoula Osprey. You don't hear the Osprey a lot.
Missoula, Montana,
yeah. The mayor.
That's right, the mayor's out there.
Mm. But the Osprey, North Florida.
If they haven't kicked him out yet.
Let's see.
They might have got himself deported out of there by now.
Oh, the Zephyrs from New Orleans.
The Zephyrs, yeah, the New Orleans Zephyrs.
Yeah, Zephyrs, yes.
I thought about putting them in. I ultimately decided not to.
Okay.
Northwest Arkansas Naturals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotta be related to the natural somehow, right?
And of course,
would imagine.
I would think so. And of course, you had the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes.
Yes, that rolls off the tongue. You know, just all Russians on the team.
Whatever.
The Salem Kaiser Volcanoes.
Oh,
ooh, volcanoes.
Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. They used to be the Penguins, but no, I'm thinking of the hockey affiliate Scranton Wilkes-Barre. But it wasn't the Rail Riders of their baseball. I think it was the Yankees, because it's the Yankee affiliate. So it was like the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Yankees. Changed it to the Rail Riders.
We need to get Stan McCaslin in here.
Oh,
and have
my gosh.
A little minor league bowl off between these two.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Well,
I've got this in front of me, so.
Yeah. That's. We could do this for, like, high school teams.
The
Nicknames?
Yeah. It'd be great.
Visalia Rawhide. Whatever that is.
Yeah. Keep them doggies rolling.
You can't look up for that logo at work. That's not safe for work. Not safe for work search.
Williamsport Crosscutters. That's just about all of them.
Okay. Yeah.
So there you go. The beauty that is minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball.
There's nothing quite
How
like
many
it.
How many movies have they made about minor league baseball?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
And they all star Kevin Costner.
They seem to. Yeah, the quality, and that's the nice thing about minor league baseball. The quality of play doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the fact that there's even a game going on is secondary in many ways.
Yeah.
Just it's all about the entertainment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The entertainment's fantastic at those games.
Yeah. You're looking to be entertained slightly differently than you are when you go to a major league game.
Yeah.
Which starts tomorrow.
Yes.
Cards,
that's right.
Cubs, Wrigley Field tomorrow night, minus the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs them?
Do they have the video board up now?
I think it's up. I don't know if it's operational.
Oh, okay.
I think it's up.
Okay.
It's just going to be so awkward.
It will be. So the Cardinals start 3 in Chicago. Then I think they're on to Cincinnati for 3, then home for their home opener. So into the Central Division right out of the gate for the Redbirds. We need another break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Cardinals' upcoming season next on Sports Saturday.
About 6 minutes away from 10 o'clock as Sports Saturday rolls on. Here's Tim, Dave, I'm Terry, and let's talk Cardinal baseball.
Absolutely. We'll have them on the radio Wednesday. That will be the first regular season broadcast on AM 1540, first day game of the year. Wednesday as they will play night ball.
Yes.
Sunday off Monday, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday afternoon for the Cards and the Cubs. And you look at the Cardinals and spring training record doesn't matter at all. Pitching looks solid. And as I looked at the Cardinals through spring training, to me they looked exactly like they did last year. Just really good pitching, no offense.
Yeah.
You know, every time I seemed to check a Cardinals score, they either had one run or no runs. And, you know, it's spring training, so, you know, you can't really just get caught up in the overall numbers. But it would have been nice to see a little bit of a different
offense,
type of offense.
You know, I think it's a pitcher-dominated era we're entering into. College
baseball
is experimenting with a flat-seam baseball, which, you know, doesn't grab, bite into the air, so curveballs don't curve very well, and home runs are up dramatically in the NCAA.
I would think so.
Yeah.
They put up
so they got no-seam baseballs
flat-seam.
And aluminum bats?
Flat-seam. Or, you know,
flat-seam.
Yeah. So basically no-seam.
With aluminum bats.
Yeah. Swinging a long one.
There you go. All day long.
Yeah. It's home run derby. So
a lot of fooled scouts out there.
Hmm.
People are going to really have to go to the Cape Cod League to check out central draft picks now, because you're going to get nothing out of the college.
Put a wooden bat in that hand.
Yeah.
Right. But you start looking at the Cardinals on paper, guys, and I mean, they look good. You know, you look at their lineup, you know, you got Carpenter, Hayward, Holiday, Adams, Peralta, Yachty. That's good.
Well,
that's
good.
Nothing wrong with that.
You would think so, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, they had most of those guys outside of Hayward. They had all those guys last year. And there was just – there was never any consistency with the offense a year ago. And if that doesn't change this year, the odds of them being able to overcome all the stuff they did last year and do that again this year, that's an uphill battle.
But see, Cardinal fans were tricked because the year prior to last year, 2 years ago, it was such a great offensive year. And it really isn't that way.
But if you
– it just fell into place – a lot of career years.
No, absolutely. A lot of luck. Yeah. Because even if you look at that year, they didn't really have a lot of home run pop.
No.
You know, it was a lot of doubles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you
could, lots of doubles.
Tons of doubles. Yeah. And last year, there was no home runs, but there was no doubles. You know, it was a lot of singles. So it was taking four hits to score a run. And that didn't really seem to change a whole lot in this spring.
No. So, I don't know. And, you know, this concerns baseball, Major League Baseball, with the fact that run production is down, so
something they've been fighting.
It is. They're talking about lowering the mound again. You know, they're talking about shrinking the strike zone to a postage stamp size.
I thought it was already at that size.
Well, for some umpires, it is. Seems like Carl DeBar and I were talking yesterday. How many times do you see if a pitcher throws 15 pitches during an inning? Okay,
yep.
Major League Baseball umpires. Somewhere within two innings, say within 30 pitches, there's one pitch that's right down the heart of the plate that's a strike, and he calls it a ball.
Seems to be that way.
Yeah. It's amazing. And umpires get fooled too because the catcher may set up inside, outside, and then have to come back across the plate to grab it, and, you know, you get fooled. You're human. It's going to happen. So, I don't know. We'll see. Put that postage stamp strike zone in there, buddy. There'll be some long balls.
One of the strange things about the Cardinals this year is basically every batter is left-handed and all their starters are right-handed. And then down, I think, David, at Triple-A, I think basically most of the starting rotation in Triple-A is left-handed.
Yeah. Gonzalez lefty, Cooney lefty, Lyons lefty. So the top three.
Gives them
at
some
least.
Options.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to the surprise of no one, Jaime got hurt.
I was
make
disappointed.
It to the season this time.
Didn't
I said it would be four games into the season.
You were close.
Four games into spring.
That's yes.
I blew it. I choked.
You can't help but feel sorry, or at least I do for Jaime Garcia, because, man,
what
when that dude was healthy, he was filthy.
He was.
I mean, he would have guys swinging at balls that almost bounced up there.
And I had a couple of comments this past week from people saying, well, why don't they change his – you know, his mechanics. I said, well, if he changes mechanics, he loses his stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's not the same Jaime. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the dominance that he had.
Plus, you're talking about Ricky and Keel kind of stuff in the rehabbing. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about sending him all the way down to low A minor league ball and coming back. He's got to be redeveloped if you change the mechanics. It can be done, but it's going to take a while.
Or a pitching coach for the Cardinals. Yes. Somewhere along the line?
Jaime?
After his career?
I don't know.
After it plays out, you know?
We'll have to see about that.
I don't know what makes a good pitching coach.
I don't either. Well, people who've struggled sometimes make good coaches.
Well, usually the best players don't make the best coaches.
Right.
That's true.
Like Ted Williams, when he was the hitting coach. Well, just hit it like I hit it. Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Really?
Sounds good.
Is that all there is to it? That's all there is to it.
I'll just hit 406. No big deal. You did it. All right, we're out of time here on Sports Saturday. We will have high school baseball hopefully on the radio next week.
We hope.
Hopefully.
If Mother Nature cooperates.
That's right. Always check the website, WSMIRadio.com, for that broadcast schedule.
The keeper will keep us up to date.
We'll also hopefully have the polling up for the bracket for the minor league baseball teams as well.
There you
go. Hope to get that up sometime this week. So vote on each game.
Good harmless fun. For Terry, David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.